Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Still ahead, the barbershop guys on what else? The primary, and maybe some sports talk, who knows. But first, our regular feature, Faith Matters. Today, a conversation with one of the country's most influential religious leaders. Reverend Samuel Rodriguez is the president and founder of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. With nearly 18,000 Latino evangelical churches under his wing, he has the ear of millions of Latino Americans, a fact that has not escaped the current presidential candidates. Nearly all of them, Democrats and Republicans, have sought him out. Reverend Rodriguez joins us now from our member station in Sacramento, California, KXJZ. Welcome, Reverend. Thanks for speaking with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Reverend Rodriguez, I wanted to talk about politics, but first I would like to talk to you a little bit about yourself. You were raised in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as I understand it. You first took to the pulpit at age 16?
That's correct. My grandfather was an evangelical preacher, and that spiritual religious DNA transferred over, skipped a generation. And in the midst of high school, I sensed a definitive, clear calling to get involved in ministry. Was invited to preach at the age of 16 in my local church, and the rest is history.
How did you feel the call, if you don't mind my asking?
Even though it was Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in a very ethnic neighborhood, predominantly Latino, and I saw the proliferation of drugs and gang activity, unemployment, and so many social ills, and I saw the lack of addressing these issues from the pulpit, and I was one day watching a PBS program on Martin Luther King Jr., and I verbally articulated in my room, I said, "Lord, I really would love to provide some sort of voice for our people." Right thereafter, one of those Sunday night evangelical programs that was on the air, and I saw the way that people were responding to the calls. And similarly, that same day, I said, you know, that I, somehow, if I can be the nexus, if I can combine both those elements of preaching the good word and seeing lives transformed, at the same time bringing about a transformational ministry to my community, I would be the happiest man on the planet. That right there was the impetus behind the call, and that's how I sensed the call.
Reverend, I think a lot of people assume that most Latinos are Catholic, and most are, something like 70% are, but that's down from something like 90% 30 years ago. And we understand that Latinos are the fastest growing group of evangelicals. Why do you think that is?
Latino evangelicalism offers to the Hispanic immigrant an opportunity to bring in their culture. For example, Latino evangelicalism is a master religion in customizing the product. If you like mariachi music, if you're from Mexico, or if you're from the Caribbean and you like salsa merengue, our praise and worship style will look like your culture. And sometimes Roman Catholicism in the United States has a difficult time. They are more committed to the liturgy, and now even a little bit of pushback on the Latin masses. It's more of leave your culture in the doorsteps, come in, and here's the package. And Latino evangelicalism offers, we embrace you as you are. It is a gospel of transformation, so the second element why many are leaving the Catholic Church to evangelicalism is the element of personal empowerment, addressing issues at home, children, the family. In other words, it's not just here's the gospel, but here's the practical application of the gospel. Here's how your life can be better. Even your professional career, your employment, your income status can improve by you adhering to some biblical principles, along with the personal, in quotes, born again experience, which basically means it's a new day. Regardless of your past history, you have an opportunity through this religious narrative to actually experience and start a new day in a chapter one in your life.
Reverend, you're preaching now.
I am. Sorry. And I believe that's what's attractive in respect to Latino evangelicalism. And I'll give you one more final note. It's not what the majority of Americans would perceive to be as evangelicalism. That's what I believe we have.
What do you mean by that?
I think we have a prophetic role, we meaning Latino evangelicals, to redefine evangelicalism in America. Evangelicalism really, over the past 20 years, has been defined synonymously with Christianity, the right wing of the Republican Party, and those are oxymoronic terms. They really are. To be Christian and to be right wing, to be Christian and to be extreme, does not correspond with the true biblical narrative. Christianity is the quintessential man in the middle. Christianity offers an opportunity to address both righteousness issues and social justice issues.
Hold on a second, Reverend. I wanted to ask about this politically. Now, you've said that Latino evangelicals sort of think about things differently than perhaps their brother and sister evangelicals do. So how does that translate into politics?
Easy. African-American, even evangelicals, over 90% vote Democratic. White evangelicals vote from 68 to 80% Republican. Hispanic evangelicals are not going to be the extension of one political party or the other. Absolutely not. We are going to ask for the parties to address our issues rather than us becoming an extension of any particular party.
Hold on a second, tell me why. And the reason I'm asking is that some people dispute this, but some people say that issues like gay marriage have persuaded some black evangelicals to abandon the long support that African Americans in general have traditionally had for the Democratic Party.
The numbers from the 2004 elections, if we look at the outcomes, and the vast majority of African Americans are still committed to the Democratic Party, and the vast majority of white evangelicals are still committed to the Republican Party. Here comes the Latino evangelical, who really personifies the nexus and of both worlds. There is a commitment to righteousness issues, which are typically known as the marriage and life issues, but even the marriage narrative has a different impetus. What motivates Latinos to be in favor of traditional marriage is absolutely nothing in respect to the gay community or against the gay community. I think the majority of Latinos, including Latino Catholics and evangelicals, would embrace some sort of civil union status and, of course, death benefit rights and other rights that have been discussed in different state legislators and even federally. What Latinos argue for in respect to traditional marriage is we know that the antidote to our young boys being involved in gang activities, we know that the antidote to teenage pregnancy, Latino high school dropout rate, and other social ills in our community is mom and dad in the home. So when Latinos fight for traditional marriage, they're not fighting for excluding others. They're fighting for the very survivability and viability of the nuclear family because it is the number one antidote to social deviancy.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which represents nearly 18,000 Latino evangelical churches. Reverend, you've made the case that Latino evangelicals are a quintessential swing group. Why is that?
Because let's look at the immigration issue for a second. Latinos right now are caught between a rock and a hard place. Latino evangelicals, do we vote for the party that has de facto permitted a xenophobic and a nativist thread to proliferate the conversation in respect to immigration reform, and we're addressing the Republican Party? We have never heard from the Republican National Committee any sort of written or verbal repudiation of the Tancredo sort of manifesto regarding immigration.
Tom Tancredo being a member of Congress who recently left the presidential campaign, was a candidate for president, campaigning largely in a very hardline attitude toward immigration.
And the rhetoric, the verbiage, the demagoguery regarding this issue, it's really polarized our society. My parents are from Puerto Rico, so as U.S. citizens since the early 1900s, I'm third-generation American. I'm being looked at in certain cities and states in America right now. If I would be stopped, I would have to prove my citizenship. It's unbelievable. I never would have believed as a Generation Xer that I would be in America in the 21st century where racial profiling would actually be legal in certain communities around our nation.
Okay, but how about the Democrats?
The Democratic Party stood aside for the sake of political expediency and some political advantage in the 2008 national election. Many of them stepped aside and said, look, let's just permit the Republican Party to continue to successfully alienate the Hispanic vote, and let's see what happens in 2008.
And you think that's wrong?
Absolutely, because the Hispanic American community and the Latino community, even the immigrant community, were caught right dead stack in the middle. And we became a political volleyball. And there is an incredible amount of ethnic polarization due to the lack of passage of successful comprehensive immigration reform.
You think that's a moral issue?
It is a moral issue.
Why so?
How we treat the immigrant is not even a political issue. It is a moral issue. It's Leviticus 19. It's the Good Samaritan parable in the New Testament. How we treat those amongst us, the strangers and the alien, is a reflection of the spiritual state of our union.
So are any of the candidates offering a message that is resonating with you and with your members?
Senator McCain worked with us arduously on the issue of immigration reform, really resonates with Hispanic Americans. Even Governor Huckabee, excluding the Jim Gilchrist endorsement in respect to his evangelicalism and his efforts and work with Hispanics in Arkansas, and Barack Obama. Just a possibility, just a hope and dream. I was moved a few days ago. I was watching one of the network news programs, and they had an African-American Republican commentator responding to the Obama Iowa caucus victory. One of the other reporters asked, one of the other hosts asked, so what do you think? And his eyes swelled up and he held back tears and he said, listen, if Obama wins politically, I would have a problem. But internally, I would be rejoicing and celebrating. What a great day for America.
Do you think you will make an endorsement?
There is a possibility. If ever I would make an endorsement, it would be in this election due to the immigration reform issue. I believe we need to address or identify. It wouldn't be, of course, from my organization that would produce my pink slip. It would be personally. If I do so, it will be prior to April 15th.
Will you let us know?
Absolutely.
I also wanted to ask you about perhaps a political career for yourself. It's not beyond reason. I mean, Reverend Jesse Jackson ran for president twice. The Reverend Al Sharpton ran for president. Governor Mike Huckabee is an ordained Baptist minister. So it's not beyond the pale for religious leaders to also have a role in the public life of our country, even elective office. What do you think?
I've thought about it. We have had a number of invitations to be engaged somehow politically at state levels.
I don't know who this we is. I was talking about you. Oh,
know,
is that the
I'm
royal
sorry.
We?
It's, no, it's the royal we. It's my upbringing. Sorry. My other personality is okay. Right now as we speak.
Now,
to be honest with you, I would find it difficult to see that happening today or even maybe in the next 2, 3, 4 years. And the reason is, and I'm going to come back to this, and forgive me for this. Really, the immigration reform debate has polarized. I believe an African-American has a greater chance of getting elected in America today, 10 to 20 times more than a Hispanic-American would because of this issue of immigration. A person with the last name of Rodriguez would be hard-pressed to be elected nationally anywhere today. But maybe 4 years, 8 years, 12 years down the road, when this conversation shifts a bit, if an opportunity arises and we believe that we can do good and we can serve our fellow Americans and we can serve our communities, and if it's a continuation of ministry, meaning it's, I believe, public servants. That's why in Europe, the term ministry and minister of defense and minister of economics, it's an extension of ministry, service to others. If we can continue to contextualize that, then maybe. Maybe. At this moment, I'm concentrating on providing a voice to the large Hispanic American community and particularly to the Hispanic faith community.
Reverend Samuel Rodriguez is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. He joined us from member station KXJZ in Sacramento, California. Reverend, thanks so much.
Thank you.